Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I am safely ensconced in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot of fun today because an announcement was made that Penn State's going to be taking one game, back to Rec Hall. Last time they played a game there was in January 1996 when they beat Wisconsin. Then after that, they played 8 straight games of sellout to the Bryce Jordan Center. It was actually one of the better Penn State basketball seasons ever. In fact, when Penn State beat Wisconsin, they were 25th in the country that day. James Robinson scored the last basket ever. And now they're going to take a game back there. It's going to be a December 14th game with Princeton. Might as well go with a program that's played in its past in Rec Hall. It's going to be December 14th, a Saturday afternoon against Princeton in Rec Hall. They've had to do some things with this, though. You're saying, oh, it's, you know, just move the game over there. It's easy. It's not that easy. Here are some reasons why. Number one, you have to move the stands on the sidelines back a little bit, and you have to make sure it's comfortable all the way around where the seating is. Why? Because in the new configuration of Rec Hall, you can't fit a basketball court in there any longer. That's now a wrestling arena and a volleyball court and a gymnastics arena. So when they redid Rec Hall, the seats were moved closer. So you have to move the seats back on the sidelines in order to accommodate a basketball court. You also have to get electronics to get the baskets going. Why? Because all the hookups for the baskets were taken out of Rec Hall years ago when they took out the floor, which now brings us to the floor. That's a volleyball court. They're bringing in a special floor just for that game. So there's more to this logistically. And now what do you do with tickets? Those who have season tickets at the Jordan Center, where do you sit them in Rec Hall? So these are all the logistical items they have had to work out to put a Penn State basketball game back in Rec Hall, and it's going to be against Princeton Saturday, December 14th. Next half hour, we'll hear the teleconference today with Penn State Athletic Director Dave Joyner and head basketball coach Patrick Chambers. We'll have that for you as well. Rob Beard Temple, of course, Pirates continue their series with the St. Louis Cardinals after yesterday's doubleheader. Coming up a little bit later in the week, Steve Sampson will join us on the media, especially with Fox Sports 1 about to launch August 17th. Mel Proctor, we're going to hear from him later in the week as well. He's written a book, I Love the Work, But I Hate the Business. One of the all-time great broadcasters. He called the Fiesta Bowl in 87. And Mel, for many years, was with the Baltimore Orioles and the Washington Wizards, among other teams. Did the Nationals for a little bit, too. Some Padres games. Mel is a fabulous, true professional broadcaster. Now he works and teaches individuals how to work with the media and be in the media. Does that in San Diego. We'll talk to Mel Proctor later in the week. So we have a lot going on and a lot to talk about. First of all, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick. Great to have you with us. Give you the basketball announcement. Penn State coming up in a few moments. As today they were at the Bryce Jordan Center. Looking forward to talking about that. Rob Beer Temple, Pirates. They continue their series with the Cardinals. Tomorrow, Steve Sampson on, media critic, Friday, we will have on the show Mel Proctor, who wrote the book, I Love the Work, But I Hate the Business. Great title, huh, Sarah?
I like it. It's interesting.
Well, but you're a longtime Orioles fan. Mel did the Orioles on TV for years.
That's right.
Well, ask your family about him. Now, you would have been, I think he stopped doing the Orioles in the mid-90s, somewhere around there. But Mel has one of the truly great moments in Penn State football history as part of his resume. He called the national championship game with Miami. How about that? He's the one that called it. And we'll have Mel on Friday's show. And I think the fans will be intrigued by that. So we have a lot going on in the next few days. But today we're going to talk a little bit about little Penn State basketball is coming up today, and we've got that, and obviously with Rob Beer Temple, Pittsburgh Tribune review on the amazing story of the Pirates. And it has been an amazing story, an amazing run that they've had. They've taken three consecutive games from the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cardinals today put Yadier Molina on the disabled list. 15-day DL. He got hurt in yesterday's first game. So things for the Cardinals getting worse, things getting better for the Pirates. What about the trade deadline? Well, I've had people tell me it is the weakest trade deadline they have ever witnessed in terms of especially position players. This is an odd trade deadline for a couple reasons. Number one, you have more teams in it because of the second wild card, so you have some teams that are reluctant to make a deal. Okay. But then you have the specter of what's going on with Biogenesis. Why do you think a team with an all-star shortstop in Johnny Peralta the Detroit Tigers make a deal, a three-team deal that included the Red Sox, for Jose Iglesias? Because they think tomorrow Johnny Peralta is going to get suspended. There is no way the Tigers make this deal for Iglesias, who's a fabulous fielder. He is an outstanding fielder. But don't be confused by the 330 average. There are a lot of infield hits in that 330 average. He has very good speed. He's not a great hitter, though. But as a fielder, he's just superlative. But he's not the number one shortstop in the Red Sox organization. He's not the number one guy. The White Sox wanted wanted Will Middlebrooks for Jake Peavy, and the Red Sox said no, which tells you what they think about Middlebrooks. Now, Middlebrooks is not coming back up to the big club yet. The Red Sox recalled former State College Spike Brock Holt today. They get Peavy, who's probably going to be a third or fourth starter in their rotation. The Red Sox do not make this deal if Clay Buchholz is healthy. Buchholz is not healthy. The Red Sox make the deal. They give up Iglesias. Recall Holt, won't give up Middlebrooks. Tigers make the deal because even though they have an all-star shortstop in Johnny Peralta, his name has been connected to the Biogenesis deal, and thus they obviously have a sneaking suspicion that they won't have their shortstop the next 2 months of the season. Brings us to the Texas Rangers. The Rangers are in search of offense because they fear losing Nelson Cruz for the same reason. Michael Young, meanwhile, has expanded his list. He says, I will allow a trade if it's to the Rangers, the Yankees or the Red Sox? Quite a list. And also all in the American League. Cliff Lee evidently is off the table. Ruben Amaro Jr., quite frankly, I think has looked at the landscape and has realized that he can't get value for Cliff Lee. Interesting. Very interesting. So if he doesn't feel he can get value for Cliff Lee, don't bother trading him. And that's what he's doing. Sometimes the best moves you make are the ones that you don't make. Too often there are people that want to make it seem like they're doing something. Look, I'm doing something. And sometimes if you don't do something, you sense in the water there's a reason why. You don't just deal Cliff Lee for the sake of dealing Cliff Lee so you can tell the fan base, look, we dealt Cliff Lee. You have to ask yourself, if I make this deal, will I get value that down the road improves the ball club? They wanted two top prospects. I don't blame them. I would ask for two top prospects because Cliff Lee still has a lot of mileage left in that arm. He's already locked into his contract anyway. No big deal. Ryan Howard can't be traded because of his injury. No team's going to want him. A lot of people thought Alex Rios was a hot name. Fouled the ball off his foot. Contusion. Could be out a week. Do you want him? Does he improve your ball club? People will tell you this is the weakest position player trade deadline they have ever seen. But there's more intrigue about this deadline because of the Biogenesis situation. Nelson Cruz, Johnny Peralta, Rangers, Tigers, respectively, may be forcing the hands. And in Detroit's case, they did force the hand of management because of Biogenesis. The Tigers do not make the trade for Jose Iglesias, a slick fielding, light hitting shortstop. And again, don't be fooled by the 330 mirage of the plate. The kid did a heck of a job for the Red Sox. There's no doubt about that. Did a heck of a job for the Red Sox. Was actually hitting up over 400 for a long time. But he's not the number one prospect in the Red Sox organization. And when you make a trade, and I pointed this out yesterday, when you make a deal, you want to make a deal where you feel there is strength within your organization, that you have depth there. The Red Sox have three quality shortstops in their organization, including the Boger kid that they feel is their number one guy. So they dealt from a position of strength, the guy that's on the roster can play second or third, short or third, and in the field is a whiz. At the plate, whatever you get from him is a bonus. The Tigers don't make this trade, though, because let's face it, they have Johnny Peralta. Why would the Tigers deal for a shortstop? He's an all-star, except they fear that tomorrow he'll be suspended as part of the Biogenesis case. Oakland is in a position. Does Oakland look for a starting pitcher because they fear about Bartolo Colon in the Biogenesis case? Texas. Nelson Cruz. And you're the Yankees. What do? Well, we're going to give you that recall announcement coming up in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Wednesday afternoon. And here it is on a July 31st. We take a look into the crystal ball to Saturday, December 14th. Penn State basketball not in rec hall. Dave Joyner, Patrick Chambers, and former coach Bruce Parkhill on the announcement today.
Thanks for everybody for coming today. We have a special announcement that we're very excited about. Number one, we're very excited about our basketball program coming into this season. And one of the ways that we've been talking about for a long time, listening to our fans, since 1996, there's not been a Penn State basketball game in Rec Hall. And we're going to have a retro game in Rec Hall December 14th versus Princeton University. And we are very excited about that. That brings back a lot of memories from that era with Senator Bradley, Princeton versus Penn State, et cetera. And so we're very, very excited to announce today that we will be, as I say again, having a game against Princeton University December 14th of this year.
Just to follow up on that, it's an historical day for Penn State basketball, men's basketball. To have Coach Parkhill here, who, you know, his success in Rec Hall was amazing, and to go back and think about, you know, being a spectator there, I mean, I just get goosebumps. It's just an amazing feeling to know that we're going to be back playing a game in Rec Hall with that type of atmosphere. And none of that gets done. And a lot of you don't know the red tape and the obstacles and the challenges that we faced. But because of Dr. Joyner and his administration, anytime we butted up against something, there was always a solution to be had. And never did they waver one time to say, we're not doing this. It was always like, how can we make this happen? How can we get this done? And we just saw it through. And because of Dr. Joyner, again, his administration, the possibilities that we've talked about for 17 and a half years is now reality. It's reality because of their leadership. And I also want to thank the coaches over at Rec Hall, wrestling, men's and women's volleyball, men's and women's gymnastics. Without them, this is not possible. They made sacrifices for us to go into their gym for 2 days to take over. And we appreciate the one team mantra. Like I've always said, one team is not a gimmick. It's very real. And because they're allowing us to do this, it just brings that one team. It brings us even closer together. And I know these guys don't want to shout out, but I have to give it to them. Lauren Crispell, Dave Capriletti, Brian Seacrest. They were my team, as we said, and we just kept coming up with different ideas, different ways, different solutions, different idea, different avenues to go down to make sure that we got this done. And it was timely. This wasn't done in over 30 days. It was a year-long process, and everything came together. And again, I'm very excited to play and have a game in Rec Hall. And to see Gene Rowe, to see all the students on the – you remember that, Coach? To see all the Genes across the front row and have that incredible home court advantage. I think it was, what, 75% winning percentage in Rec Hall, which is amazing statistics. Yes, it was definitely coaches coaching, and it was definitely the players. But the fans, we thank you. We listen to the fans. We listen to our alums. We listen to our former players. We heard you. And that's why this game is now a reality.
For Patrick or Dave, what were some of the biggest, I guess, obstacles you had to negotiate? When he talked about, you know, these are the things we had to find the solutions for, what were they? Was it getting the floor in? Was it, you know, anything you guys had to get through to do this?
Let me take it.
Yeah.
I would say, yes, the floor. that was probably your biggest challenge because you don't want to damage the current floor that volleyball plays on. That's important. Plus, it's a smaller venue. It's you know, we have to worry about all the logistics that goes with that, you know, ticket sales, enough bathrooms, parking, you name it. We went through a ton of red tape, and when we sat down and we just, you know, we put our heads together, and we came up with every solution that we could possibly think of.
Absolutely, and you know, the physical space is one of the issues to be transform it into a basketball floor again, and part of that is baskets. You know, what do we do about baskets? We solve that issue and you know, getting proper baskets in because the placement for them is not there anymore. So we had to, you know, to look to another way of doing it, and we solved that problem, and so we're off and running.
Coach Chambers, so you said you've attended a few games at Rec Hall, like back in the day?
Back in the day. I see my brother-in-law in the back. My sister went here. I had two brothers that went here. So I came up, actually, I hate to bring this up, Coach Parkhill, but I was at the Indiana game. He's still mad about it. But it was one of the most amazing experiences I've had as a fan. I was just a fan. and it was just a thrilling event to be at.
Wait, was that when you were like in high school or college?
I was in college.
College at the time. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask third grade.
Yeah. No, are you trying to find out my age?
Curious.
So obviously, this has been something that's been talked about for a while, but what made this the right time to do it now?
I think the excitement, number one, about the basketball program, just trying to be innovative in general in the athletic department to do some things that are exciting and sort of change it up a little bit in the middle. And because of also Patrick's being a student of the game and watching that Indiana film and us watching the Indiana film got us, really revved up about doing this. And so I just think it's the right time to inject, some energy, some extra energy in a different way into the program and get fans and our players and our coaching staff excited.
I would piggyback that, and Doc hit it right on. We listened. We heard what the fans were saying. We heard what the students were saying. We heard what the ex-players were saying. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back in time and be a part of that tradition, to be a part of that history. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being in that arena. Nothing like it. And I know, I'm sure Coach is over there fired up with goosebumps just like me, just thinking about roaming those sidelines. I mean, I think that's what we did a real good job of is hearing what our alumni base has to say and coming through.
If I could piggyback on that too from Patrick's statement, I think it's so special that the people involved here have gone to the effort that they have to make this happen, because it's really important to me, having kind of been a part of both pre-Big Ten and Big Ten eras at Penn State, that the student athletes that participated before we got into the Big Ten in all sports, but in our rec hall sports, I think sometimes get lost in the shuffle, and this is a great way to kind of go back and recognize them, and I think it's, to me, it's a wonderful thing that they're doing, because there are a lot of great student athletes that played in rec hall, that wrestled in rec hall, gymnastics, the whole bit. I see one of them in here today, as a matter of fact, who put a lot of sweat on the floor in rec hall, and Brian Allen. And it's just wonderful to kind of go back, take a night to go back and reminisce and appreciate what all those student athletes did through the years. For 60-some years, that was our indoor venue.
Bruce, can you speak to, I know your thoughts on this, but if you can kind of speak to what Rec Hall at its best was like as a place to coach and have teams play, especially in big games.
I'll tell you, when things got going and the student body started standing every game, all game, and the place was full, I know when I was coaching at William Mary, we played at Duke and some ACC places that were supposed to be the best in the country. And I think Rec Hall was right there with any of the best venues in the country. It was just the crowd was actually part of the game. There's no question the crowd affected the game. And it was the best.
Is there any plans to, like, do this, maybe it's too late to tell, like, on an annual basis or anything like that? Have you guys thought of that at all?
There's no plan in place that, yes, we're going to do it exactly every year, but I'm sure that we'll entertain doing more of this kind of thing, and I think that'll be fun for everybody.
Coach, can you talk about the personal significance of Princeton being the opponent for you guys?
Well, we looked at Princeton as a top 100 RPI type of team. They're going to battle for the Ivy League championship this year, and they're an NCAA tournament team, almost every year or year in and year out. I mean, they're right there battling. So I felt like they were a great opponent for us, and to bring a team in like that's going to challenge us. And I think for the fans, they want to see a good opponent. They don't want to see a blowout of any sort. And Princeton will definitely not be that type of team. We know that. And we know where they're positioned right now in the Ivy League. So I think for us, and going back to Rec, I think it ties in a lot of things.
Hey, Coach, over here.
Dad. Don.
So, how you doing, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. So the history of the game seems to be important for you and sharing that with your players. You know, we did that last year. We went down to and played in Philly. It's important for them to know the heritage and history and tradition here at Penn State.
You nailed it. It's exactly right. And that's why we practiced in Rec Hall last year.
And that is head coach Patrick Chambers talking about the moving one game into Rec Hall this year. It's going to be December 14th, a Saturday. They'll take on the Tigers of Princeton, who will be battling this year, by the way. They'll be right in the thick of it for the Ivy League championship. It will be Princeton, Harvard will be the top two teams in the Ivy League this year, without question. And they'll be the game in Rec Hall Saturday, December 14th. We'll talk about the logistics, a couple of the hurdles they had to go through that they didn't really talk about there in a few moments when we come back here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. Like a 2005 Lexus ES330 sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. Ford Fusion 5-door SE, just $12,995. 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan, front-wheel drive, $14,997. 2010 Honda Odyssey EXL, the perfect minivan for traveling, $24,643. 2011 Jeep Wrangler 2-door Rubicon, $24,997. And a 2012 Ford F-150 Supercrew, $145. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Okay, logistical problems. You're saying, well, just move the venue. Just move the game over to Rec Hall. You can't just do that. Things have changed a lot in 17 years. And that's the reason why. Let's start with this. Here's one hurdle they had to clear. They had to go to the Faculty Senate to get approval for the game. You're saying, why? Because it is the day after classes end at Penn State, and it's the transition into finals week. Saturday, December 14th is designated as a study day on campus. So they had to get approval from the Faculty Senate to play the game. Okay. So now you get the approval, you're going to play the game. So that's one thing they had to do. Rec Hall is also different than the last game I did there back on January 7th, 1996. And it's different in this way. Yeah, sure, the ceiling's different. You know, it was a complete false ceiling above and cut out. But the seating is different. Because it is now a men's and women's gymnastics, wrestling, and men's and women's volleyball arena. When they redid the seats in Rec Hall, and all the seats have been redone, they're also closer to the respective floors. They're closer to where a wrestling mat would be. They're closer to where a volleyball court would be. So in order to do this, they're going to lose seats in the building. Now, eventually, my understanding is the number of tickets available for this game will be 6,300, 4,200 for the public, and 2,100 for students. So that's the breakdown. It'll be 42 to 21 public to students, 6,300 all together. But they have to take the seats on the sides, and they have to push them back on each side to fit the court. Then, because it is a volleyball court, they're bringing in a court. They bought a court. In fact, they bought a court that'll be assembled and put on top of this court. Because it has all the paintings and markings. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, painted sidelines and markings of Penn State volleyball all over it now. Which is because it's their court. I mean, it should. So they had to buy a court, and they're going to bring a court in specifically for this game on December 14th. So they had to go about and purchase that. The floor has been replaced since 1996. In fact, one of the nice gifts that they gave me is that they gave me a
6-inch section of the floor because of all the games I broadcast in there. I broadcast at least 200 games in Rec Hall in my career. And they gave me a 6-inch section of the court. Well, in tearing the court out, they also tore out the electronics underneath the court, too. The electronics are what you plug the baskets into to raise the baskets up, the hydro ribs. Well, that was taken out. You then had to logistically come up with a way to do that so you can have the baskets in there and set to go. You also have to have a way to get the baskets into the building. They're old doors. And then the electronics in order to get the baskets in place. Because all the electronics on the floor, when they replaced it a few years ago, have all been torn out. The seats are a little more comfortable in there than they used to be. There's no question the video is fabulous in there. It's HD now on those boards. So the video is great. Here's another small part of the logistic. New scoreboards in college basketball are electronically synced to the whistles. That's why when you see an official blow the whistle, it's the official that stops the clock, you know. When they blow the whistle, that's what stops the clock. Because the whistle is electronically synced to the board. So that's how they stop the clock. Well, you're not going to have this in Rec Hall. The boards are not going to be synced up with a transmitter to the whistles. So that's another thing that the two teams will have to understand going in. So there are a lot of little things. You know, what do you do with the locker rooms? What's the home locker room? What's the visitor's locker room? Where's a media work area after the game? They have to type their stories after the game. Now, the media room, they have a gorgeous media room at Rec Hall now. I mean, state of the art. For the media, comfortable, perfect, electronically set up. That part there is the easiest part. It's better. In fact, the media room in Rec Hall is far better than the media room for football or basketball. So that part's actually easy, believe it or not. That's part of the broadcast complex that they put in a little more than a year ago. So, that's the easiest part. But there are all these little logistical things, hurdles that they have to clear. Where's a media work area? Press conferences are fine. You're all set there. But you need a work area afterward. They have to have that set up. You need a court. Had to buy one. Okay? How do you hook up the baskets? There are no electronics in the floor any longer. So how do you do that? Okay, how far back, how many seats do you lose by moving the seats back, the rows back, and do you move more back on one side as opposed to the other side? And now what do you do about ticketing? Because the seat structure is different in Rec Hall than it is in the Jordan Center. Next, what do you do about parking? Parking at the Jordan Center is an absolute breeze. You have that huge parking lot on the east side of the Jordan Center. You have the Beaver Stadium parking lot, which is on the north side of the Jordan Center and the west side of Beaver Stadium. Plus, there are other assorted lots that are on the west side as well that are part of campus if you wish to use them. Parking is a breeze at the Jordan Center. Parking is a nightmare at Rec Hall. The white course drive parking lot is an okay size, not bad. The Keller parking deck, not bad. These are all the things. It's not just, hey, let's go to Rec Hall. Now it takes a lot more to do that than it used to because the Rec Hall itself changed and other factors enter into it. So it's not as easy as let's go play a game. That's why when Patrick Chambers and Dave Joyner talked about the hurdles But Dave Joyner has been supportive on this since day one, the second he heard about it. He thinks it's an awesome idea. And, you know, we frankly can't wait to get back in there. I mean, Dick called me this morning, I mean, which is bad because this is people can get a lot of information off my refrigerator. I've had the schedule of my refrigerator for 2 months now. And it says on there at Rec Hall. So, I mean, I've known about it for that long. And Dick and I have talked about, Dick and I usually talk three times a week. We talked about a bunch of things. And we never talked about this. And he called me this morning. He says, "Hey, Steve, by the way, what's the announcement today? Is it a contract extension? What?" I said, "No, it's a Rec Hall game." He goes, "Oh, that's really neat." You know, so that's fun. It's fun. It's exciting. Different. Obviously, the first time I'll do a game in there in almost 18 years. All right. Second hour of the show coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.